read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll read verse 10. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In this psalm, the psalmist is expressing his fascination, his affection, his desire, his appreciation, his appetite, his inclination, and his regard for the house of God. Now, when David makes reference to the house of God, he, of course, is speaking of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was designed by God. It was a special place where God would meet with his people, or the people would meet with God and worship God. It was in use for about 500 years, and David had a desire to build God a more permanent place, but he was told that he would not be allowed to do so, but that his son Solomon would build the temple. And in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, we see the temple was built. And it was somewhat of a replica of the tabernacle, but it became the special dwelling place of God. And without going into the details through the process of time, the tabernacle or the temple would be rebuilt under the leadership of Zerubbabel and then again under Herod. And Jesus, in Matthew 21 and verse 13, he's referencing Isaiah 56, 7. He referred to the temple as my house, the house of prayer. So both the tabernacle and the temple were God's dwelling place. Both were places where God's glory was displayed. And I believe that both were served as a type of what is God's dwelling place today, the Lord's church. In Ephesians 2, verse 22, we see that the Lord's church is referred to as an habitation of God. And then he tells us how God dwells in this place through the Spirit. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the habitations of God through the Spirit. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, we see the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So just as the tabernacle and the temple were God's special dwelling place, so it is concerning the Lord's church. Reading through the Psalms, the psalmist, and usually it's David, not every time, but most of the time, speaks of God's house. Again, he's speaking of the tabernacle. But what he says is true of the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So we want to go through the Psalms, notice how that the psalmist recognized this place, God's house. For you and I, it's the church. And we want to see his attitude toward this place. So our message tonight is God's house, a special place. And it is a special place. I believe it's the most important place on the earth. I believe it's the most special place on this earth. We see here that in Psalm 84, and we'll see it in all the Psalms that we look at, he recognizes it as belonging to God. Jesus in Matthew 16, 18 said, my church, my church. It's not my church, it's not your church. It's his. It's his. No individual, no family is bigger, more important, or of equal importance to whose house this is. It's God's house. In our text, in verse 1, he says, thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Verse 2, it's the courts of the Lord. Verse 3, he refers to thine altars. Verse 4, thy house. Verse 10, thy courts, the house of my God. So he looks at it as God's house. He looks at it as the place where God dwells. Now you think about your house, the place you live. Where a person dwells, that place sort of takes on the character of the person that dwells there. You can tell a lot about a person. You go in their house, look around. It's their dwelling place. A person's dwelling place reveals some characteristics about the person that lives there. The house of my God, Psalm 84:10. So the house of God is to take on the characteristics of the Lord. The house of my God. He has everything that I need, and this is his house. This is where he dwells. It is a place where God has promised to meet his people. Matthew 18, verse 20, speaking to his church, not to just individuals, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, my name is the key here, that's authority, there am I. There am I. Well, we can't have church tonight because we only have a couple. Well, if you have two, you have at least three because the Lord's there. There am I. In the midst of them. I don't believe there's a whole lot of people who believe that verse. From our text, notice the attitude of the psalmist toward God's house. He felt a deep appreciation. How amiable are thy tabernacles. It's a place of affection. It was a place of desire and regard for the psalmist. From verse 10, he felt God's house to be superior to anything else in the world. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. To him, it was the most desirable place in all the world. What a blessing it is to know that God has a house. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. God has a house. Not only is it a blessing to know God has a house, it sure is a blessing to know where it is. And then to be able to go to such a place. What a blessing. He also recognized it as a place of God's honor. Notice Psalm 28. Psalm 28. I'm sorry, Psalm 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Now he speaks of the psalmist dwelling there. I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. It is a place where the character of God abides, where thy honor dwelleth. In the psalmist's heart, again, it was he writes those words with deep affection. There's a warmth. There's an attachment. There's a devotion to the house of God. There's a passion for the house of the Lord. Notice in Psalm 27, he recognized it as a place where he could go and contemplate the beauty of God. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing, speaks of priority. Have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What are you going to do there? To behold the beauty of the Lord. What else are you going to do there? And to inquire in His temple. So he says, here in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired. One thing. He also expressed that in our text in Psalm 84 and verse 2. He had an aspiration for God's house. Something is seriously wrong when a person can profess to believe what we refer to as church truth. They can profess to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has a church and it is His dwelling place. And yet they have no aspiration to be there whatsoever. Something is serious, something is terribly wrong with that situation. They don't even have an inclination to be there. I mean, we live in a day of Facebook. People post on God's people, members of the Lord's churches, post on Facebook what they were doing on Sunday when they should have been in the Lord's house. And they don't feel ashamed about it. And then what's sadder yet is God's people who were in the Lord's house gives them a thumbs up. Has everybody lost their minds? You have to wonder. But they have no inclination. There's no yearning. There's no longing. There's no craving. There's no determination to be in the house of God. But the psalmist here says, one thing have I desired. It was his desire. Not only that, it was a desire of priority. One thing. If I desire, that's what he wanted more than anything else. If he could be anywhere in the world, he wanted to be in the Lord's house. And that ought to be so of you and I as well. And we're preaching to the choir. He recognized it as a place of information. there in Psalm 27 and verse 4, to inquire in His temple. The house of God is a place where one can find useful information. It is the place where the most useful and beneficial instruction in all the world can be found. There are people who are members of the Lord's churches that will go to a seminar on the Lord's Day. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. What they're saying is this seminar has more valuable information than I'm going to find in the house of God. I will inquire, to inquire in His temple. It's a place where we find advice. It's a place where we find guidance and direction. It's a place where we find enlightenment. There's no place on earth like it. Psalm 36, verse 8, we see He recognized it as a place of fulfillment. They shall be abundantly satisfied, not just satisfied, but abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. The fatness of thy house. The abundance of thy house. But notice also there's a river. The waterway of thy pleasures. And that river runs through the house of God. The waterway of God's pleasures. What is this river of thy pleasures? It's that which brings delight to the child of God. It's that which brings enjoyment and contentment and gratification to the child of God. Where do you find it? In God's house. Notice they shall be abundantly or bountifully satisfied. In a world that cannot satisfy the spiritual needs of man, there is a place of spiritual fulfillment. And from this we see the psalm, from this verse that we just read, we see the psalmist had a joy for the house of the Lord. It was a place of joy. Notice in Psalm 55. I love this verse. He recognized it as a place of fellowship. Psalm 55, verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Notice the words together and in company. We walked together into the house of God and in company. We read in Acts 4:23 concerning Peter and John after they had been warned not to preach Jesus, and being let go, they went to their own company. That's the Lord's house. That's where they went. The next thing you see is they're with the apostles, the other apostles. They went to their own company. All through the week, God's people walk and function amongst the ungodly. If you have a job, that's just the way it is. You go to school, that's just the way it is. You function with the ungodly. You're surrounded by them. And we live in this world as pilgrims and strangers. And the world is a lonely place for a child of God who's living for the Lord. But there is a place where people of our own kind congregate. And I've pretty much discovered through life that People congregate with their own kind. Birds of a feather flock together. People congregate with their own kind. It's a sad, sad testimony. Sad commentary when a child of God congregates with the world on the Lord's day. But the church is a place where you can be together and in company with brothers and sisters in Christ. And the psalmist viewed that as a privilege. The psalmist viewed that as an opportunity. Then over in Psalm 65, verse 4, he recognized it as a place of God's goodness. And first of all, let's read verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may. God chose him, caused him to approach unto God, that he may dwell in thy courts. God saved our soul that we may dwell in his courts. We shall be satisfied. Who's the we? Those chosen, cause us to approach the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Satisfied with the goodness of thy house. It's a place of benevolence, God's benevolence. It's a place of God's graciousness. It's a place of God's generosity. The very fact that God just allows you and I to walk into his house speaks of his grace, speaks of the generosity and the mercy of God. It ought to thrill us to walk into the house of God. And it will if you consider whose house it is. And that's why, again, people will, on the Lord's Day, go over to someone's house rather than come to God's house. What are you saying to God? They're preferring someone else's house to God's house. Well, you've got to understand, it's so-and-so's one-year-old birthday party. I don't care what it is. We're talking their house and God's house. The event has nothing to do with it. Don't try to make it about the event that's going on at whatever house it is. That's not the issue at all. The issue is whose house it is. And this is God's house. And it's God's grace and generosity. And I'm thankful that God has chosen us to be in his house. Then notice in Psalm 66, verse 13, he recognized it as a place of giving unto the Lord. Psalm 66, 13, I will go into thy house with. And we need to stop there. When we go into God's house, we always bring something with us. And we need to really stop and think about what we bring with us. Some bring their bad attitude. But he said, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. What that means is preparation had to be made. He's bringing an animal into God's house. Burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. It was a place of giving unto the Lord with burnt offerings. That's what you're offering to God. We don't come into God's house just for what we can get. We get a lot. We come into God's house to give unto Him, to worship unto Him. Then notice in Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. How many times we've read through these Psalms that word dwell? Every one of these verses, not once does he say, blessed are those that visit, but dwell. They're always there. They're always there. And they're blessed. That means God's house is a place of happiness. Amen. It's a place of joy. It's a place of peace. It's a place of assurance. To be blessed is the effect of God upon our lives. And that's God's house. Again, the world has a draining effect upon us spiritually. But there is a place that is an oasis. And it's God's house. It's a shame. Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's a shame when God's people need an oasis from God's house. Something's wrong. Well, we won't be here. We just got to get away. Really? So you have an oasis from God's house. Yet the Bible presents God's house as an oasis from the world. You recognize it as a place of growth. Notice Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. Well, these verses are rich here. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They, those who are planted, shall bring forth fruit in old age. They might have been planted there in young age, and they'll still be there in old age. They shall be fat spiritually and flourishing. He recognizes it as a place of growth. Amen. Planted in the Lord's house. A seed doesn't plant itself. If something's been planted, there's a planter. We don't plant ourselves in God's house. God plants us. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. It's not hard to identify those whom God adds and those who add themselves. They're really not that difficult to identify. Those that are planted and those that just show up. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. They will grow spiritually. They're going to grow. There are people who have come to God's house for decades, and they haven't grown a bit. If anything, They've gone backwards. So you can mark it down. They haven't been planted. Because those who are planted shall flourish. They shall flourish in the courts of God. You know, preachers talk all the time and people just throw out numbers. What's the percentage of lost church members? I have no idea. I have no idea, nor does anyone else. I suppose it's different in every church. But I don't think they're that difficult to spot. Individual, and most people think, well, they're lost if they just live an outwardly ungodly life, that manifests that they're lost. Well, there's some other signs as well. Someone who sits in a church all their life and are never moved, they don't get happy, they don't get mad, they don't get anything. They're just there. You can mark it down. They're probably lost. They're probably lost. How can you sit in God's house, Lord's day after Lord's day, and not once be moved? Not once. I'm not talking about walking the aisle. That's not what I'm talking about. But not once be moved. Not one single response, positive or negative. So they're not hard to identify. Blessed are those that are planted, they shall flourish. And even in old age, they'll still be flourishing. Psalm 93:5. My testimonies are sure, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. It is a place of holiness. God's house is a place of holiness. I don't believe that we should just stumble into the house of God. The reason being, it's His house. It's His house. And it is a place of holiness. I believe there's a proper way to behave in God's house. And there's an improper way to behave in God's house. He recognizes it as a place of holiness. Then over in Psalm 135, he recognizes it as a place of worship. Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Three times praise. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God, praise the Lord. When we're in the house of God, we are to praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Five times in these verses, we read some form of the word praise, which is the expression of admiration, the paying tribute to. It means to glorify, to honor, and to give thanks. That's what we are to do in the house of God. It's not a gymnasium. It's not a restaurant. It's not a snack bar. It's not a coffee shop. It's God's house. It's not a playground. It's the house of the Lord. And we're not here to entertain. We're not here to play. We're here to worship. Amen. That's why we come to God's house. Used to be, someone was taking medicine and their mouth would get dry, they would ask, "Pastor, is it okay? I'm on this medicine. Is it okay if I bring a bottle of water?" But they asked. And you'd say, "Sure, that's fine." Now people bring in coffee. And they don't ask. And I'll tell you why they don't ask. Because they know the answer. No. You drink your coffee at home. You don't need to be drinking coffee in the house of God. Next, it'll be donuts. If you want to go to a coffee shop, go to a coffee shop. But the house of God's a place of worship. It's a place of worship. It's been set aside for the worship of God. The highest occupation of man is to worship God. And God's house has been set aside as a place where we can worship the Lord. You know, people will say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I can worship the Lord anywhere." Well, I know what you mean. That's true. But not if you neglect God's house. You neglect God's house, you're not going to worship God. Don't kid yourself. You neglect His place of worship, you're not worshiping God out on the lake. You're not fooling me, and you're certainly not fooling God. It's a place of worship. So the psalmist, if we go back to our text, Psalm 84. Verse 10. He sees it as the most fulfilling place in all the world. "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." I've preached on that verse many, many, many times through the years. Not many people believe it, this verse, but that's that statement. What he's saying is one day, one single day of worshiping the Lord in the Lord's house is better than a thousand anywhere else. That's what he's saying. Now, there's not many that believe that. Oh, they'll say they do, but they don't. He does not say that it's equal to a thousand days. He says it's better than a thousand days. That's 2 years and 9 months anywhere else. One day in the Lord's house is better than 2 years and 9 months anywhere else. That's what he's saying. That's quite a statement. And not many people believe it. Again, we're speaking to the choir. One day worshiping the Lord in the Lord's house with the Lord's people is better than a thousand days of family reunions. Not everybody believes that. One day worshiping the Lord in the Lord's house with the Lord's people is better than a thousand days of vacation. I'm not against people taking vacation. I don't believe you should take a vacation from the Lord's house. Better than a thousand days of recreation. Better than a thousand days of watching the grandkids play baseball or soccer or football or whatever it is. They always do it on Sunday now. It's better than a thousand days out on the lake. Better than a thousand days out in the woods. Better than a thousand days at the amusement park. On and on we could go. Better than a thousand days anywhere else. He saw it as the best place in all the world. He also finds it as the most desirable of places. He said, "I had rather." Preach a message on that word rather. I had rather. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Someone chooses to go to a ball game on the Lord's day in place of going to the Lord's house, they are saying, I had rather do this than be in God's house. That's what they're saying. Then notice in closing, Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122. In verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, that just thrilled me. That filled me with pleasure. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Our hearts ought to be overwhelmed at the thought of being in God's house. Just the thought of being in the Lord's house. Our hearts ought to be greatly humbled. I get to be in God's house. I get to walk into the doors of God's house. I get to take my place in God's house. That ought to greatly humble us. You and I aren't invited in most people's houses. Very few houses are you and I invited to. But I'm invited to God's house. So I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Our cups ought to run over at the thought of being in God's house. One of the saddest things, I believe, is a child of God that has been faithful to God's house. Then they get cancer or some other disease, and they no longer come to the house of the Lord. And I've been with them, and they weep. I just wish I could be in church. That's sad. It's also a blessing. And then there are others. And I brought this up before. I ask God why all the time on this one. Someone else in perfect health, and they've chosen to go to the ballpark rather than God's house. Yep. I'll say, Lord, can you switch places here? Here's someone who truly wants to be in God's house, but they can't. And that day may come for each one of us. Each one of us here tonight, we have a desire to be here. That is obvious. There are others at home that have a desire to be here. But the day may come when we can't. Health may prevent us from going to God's house. But I do hope that if that day ever comes for me, where health will not allow me to be in God's house, that I will remember the house of the Lord. Our lives have been richly blessed because we have spent so many days in God's house. I never get tired of going to God's house. I look forward to Sunday. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. I look forward to Wednesday. Those are my two favorite days of the week. Because go to God's house those days. So how humbled and how thankful we ought to be for the privilege of being in God's house. the privilege of being planted in the Lord's house, where we can flourish to old age. Lord's churches have many challenges, they have many problems, but it's still the best place on this earth, God's house. So thank God that you know that God has a house. Thank God you know where it is. And thank God you have a desire to be in it. And that God allows us to walk through the doors. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Let's stand. We'll